Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome you to our Reedley City Council meeting, calling it to order for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. Our invocation will be by Mikai Thiessen, Director of Middle School Ministries, Reedley MB Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance will be by Councilwoman Fast. Could you please stand?
Good evening. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for this group of people, these group of leaders that have gathered here tonight that you have placed here by your goodness, God. And I do ask for your help in this meeting time. We know from your word that if we ask you for wisdom, that you say you will grant it to us liberally without any kind of reproach. And so, God, we do ask for wisdom, for help. I thank you for the gifts and the abilities that you've given to each one of these council members. And I just ask for guidance as discussion is happening here in these next couple of hours, God. And I just ask for your blessing on this time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you join our council in a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
may I please have the roll call?
Councilmember Bax?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Here.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino is not here today, and it is an excused absence. And Mayor Bettencourt?
Here. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay. If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. We have three presentations, and so we'd like to start with, gives me great pleasure to introduce our new superintendent from Kings Canyon Unified School District, John Campbell.
Thank you, Mayor Bettencourt, City Council. City Manager Ziva, gives me great pleasure to come before you this evening. I'll be short and brief because you guys sure packed them in here. It looks like you have a full agenda. But I just wanted to come over to say what a privilege it is to work in a community like this. I came to Reedley 15 years ago, and I've been privileged.
Just shoo him out of the way, John. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
I've been privileged to work here in Reedley for 15 years now, and the relationships between the city and the school district are, they're unheard of. Other places, there's issues between the school district, between the government entities, and in this community, everybody works together. I work day after day, I work with city council members, I work with the police force, I work with other members of the city government, and I find nothing but, willing people. We all want the same thing. We want to do what's best for the community, what's best for the kids. So I want to come here today to say, I have no intention of altering that relationship in any way. I want to continue to work with the city and have that great relationship. From the police department that you have here that works so closely with us at the schools, Lark and Joe. Does Joe still work here? and Joe. Those guys are great. From the first day I came here, meeting with Joe Garza and forming that relationship. Tremendous. I was sitting on a YMAP council, which is basically just a group of agencies here in Reedley that all work for the betterment of children. I've sat on that for 12 years now with Ms. Bettencourt as a member, with Joe Garza as a member, Mark Ediger. I just look forward to continuing those. We also have joint meetings, and I'd like to see that happen again as soon as possible where we come together and meet as a group. We've got that great new building just down the trail here that the community was, benevolent enough to give us, to grant us, and we'd like to offer that for any of your meetings or anytime you guys need to use it. We've got six conference rooms in there and a really nice building, so we'd like to offer that to any of you who would like to use that and like to be a place where the community goes and uses their building.
So thank you.
Once again, please, if you have any dealings with the school district, contact me directly, contact my staff. We want to be here working with you hand in hand, overcoming any obstacles and be, a positive to this community. Thank you, and I'll let you get to your business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and we have next introduction of new Reserve Officer Anthony Walker. newly promoted Sergeant Gary Kincaid, and Records Communication Supervisor Pamela Staggs. Acting Chief Mark Edgar.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of Council. It's an honor tonight to present to you the newest member of our Reedley Police Department. I'm going to have him come forward right now, Anthony. It's Anthony Walker. Was hired last Wednesday as a reserve police officer. Anthony, where you at? Come up here. He comes to us with a little bit of prior experience from a nearby neighboring city, but he felt that place was not home for him. He is now a Reedleyite. He and his wife do live here in town, and he's excited to join the community and the police department and eager to get started. So, Anthony Walker, our newest member of our department, if you want to say a few words.
I just wanted to say thank you very much for your time and also for the opportunity to become part of the Reedley family.
Thank you.
And then last but not least, we have two promotions that we made last week, and I'm going to invite Gary Kincaid, our newest police sergeant, and Pamela Staggs, our newest police records communications supervisor, to come up to the podium. And I'll go with Pam first, since she's on my right. Pam's been here for just over 10 years. She is our senior dispatcher at the moment, and she is also our lead communications training officer. And she has taken actually a lot of supervisory responsibilities in the dispatch center all on her own prior to this promotion. She does a great job for the department, so I'm very happy to present Pamela Staggs to you tonight.
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to still be with the Reedley Police Department, and I'm excited for my new position.
Can Gary step forward with me? Gary Kincaid, our newest police sergeant. Gary's been here just over 6 years, currently promoted out of detectives. Prior to being in detectives, he was a canine handler and also a field training officer for the department. So Gary has already gained a lot of experience during the time that he has been here. Very confident he's going to do an excellent job as a police sergeant. So if you could welcome Gary Kincaid.
Thank you, Acting Chief Edgar. I want to say thank you to our management group, Lieutenant Aliman, Acting Chief Edgar, and Chief Joe Garza, as well as City Manager Ziba, who allowed me to come speak to her during this promotion process, and Frank Pignon, who's been a good friend and mentor of mine since I've worked for this department. So I look forward to serving the city as a supervisor and continuing to work for you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time tonight, Council.
Thank you. Well, welcome, Anthony. And it's nice to know that we have promotions. And I know you work very hard for us. And it's nice to know that we're well protected. Thank you for all you do. Our next presentation is an introduction of community service preschool teacher Karen Rubacaba and student commissioners Lorena Orozco and Michael Ito.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Joel Glick, Community Services Director. I'm here tonight to present our new preschool teacher, Karen Rubacaba. Karen lives here in Reedley, is a Reedley resident. She enjoys nature and loves to spend the outdoors with her family. She is here with her husband, Matthew, sons Dominic and Jaden. And again, Community Services is happy to have her on our team. And Karen would like to say a few words.
Hello. I'm very excited to be working with the preschoolers here in the community of Reedley. And I look forward to also utilizing Mueller Park and being outdoors and nature with them as well. So you know, if you drive by and you see us out there doing stuff, that's what I look forward to doing with them. And I think learning is just so much fun at that age, and I'm very excited. I've been doing it for almost 20 years now, so I'm excited to take this new position. Thank you. Great.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Sarah Reed, Community Services Superintendent. And tonight we are excited to introduce our two youth reps. I'm going to do it a little different tonight. I'm going to invite forward Kieran Arakawa, who was our youth rep that is just going out. And what's so special about Kieran was he wasn't just our youth rep, he worked for us, and now he's going to college to major in government with a minor in Parks and Recreation Management. Great. So it is my pleasure to give him the opportunity to introduce these two to the council.
Great. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. My name is Kieran Arakawa, and I was the 2016-2017 Youth Representative on both the Parks and Recreation and Community Services Commission, serving alongside Amber Carter. As a student commissioner, I had the opportunity to volunteer at the events provided by the Community Services Department, and such as the Family Neon Dance and the Toys for Tots, and I have to say I really enjoyed all the activities, especially the Easter Egg Carnival. As a student commissioner, I was responsible in recruiting our new student commissioners for this year, and we had a total of 7 applicants. It is my pleasure to bring forward our 2 new youth reps that will be serving with our Community Services Commission for this year. We have Lorena Orozco and Michael Ito, who are both currently seniors at Reedley High School. Both of them are here tonight, and they will now have the opportunity to tell you a little bit about themselves.
Hi, good evening, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Lorena Orozco, and I'm a senior at Reedley High School. So the reason why I applied in the first place to have this position is because I've been involved already in LEO, Students for Peace, the Restorative Justice Program, and et cetera. And I just really love giving back to my community. And it's always something I think God gave me, the will to help people. And I see the events that you guys do in the community as something that unites everyone. And I emphasized in my interview that I want to use my position as to promote unity and just to blur the lines that we see so much on every day, you know, the differences between us. I want to use these events to unite everyone and spread love and just have a good time. Thank you.
Good evening, City Mayor and City Council. My name is Michael Ito, and I'm a senior at Reedley High right now. I chose to apply for Parks and Rec because I wanted to give back to the community. Growing up, I went through the T-ball, and that was a great experience, being able to just socialize with other people and just having outdoor activities. And I'd like to be able to give my upcoming opinions and input on the Splash Park and the additions to the Reedley Sports Park. That's about it.
Well, welcome Karen, Lorenzo, and Michael to the city. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We look forward to all your things you're going to contribute. We really look forward to it. Thank you. And Mr. Alcala, good luck, and you come back and you can sit up here with one of us, okay, in the future. We'll move on to public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are not on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the agenda items. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Is there any items that the council wishes to remove? Seeing none, may I have a motion for the is there any in the public that wishes to remove anything from the agenda, consent agenda? Seeing none, ask for a motion.
I'll so move.
Second.
Council Member Fast?
Yes.
Council Member Pignon?
Yes.
Council Member Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Move on to the public hearing. Number 10, consideration of conditional use permit 2017-04 denial report. I'll ask for community development, Rod Terry, please.
And Mayor, I will have to recuse myself. I'm within 500 feet of this location.
So. Okay, thank you.
And for the members of the public who aren't used to city government and the way that municipal government works, if a council member lives within 500 feet of an item on the agenda, a jurisdiction, they must by law recuse themselves. So that's what you see happening there with Mr. Beck stepping off. Mayor, if you wouldn't mind, I'll go ahead and take this item for Mr. Terry because I'm very pleased at the item, where it's come from, where it's been, where it's going, and very happy that Mr. Ali and his business representative are in the audience tonight. The city prides itself on the relationships, the collaborative relationships we like to build with our businesses. And every once in a while, there's a blip on the screen there. Every once in a while, there's something that causes us to have some tension between that relationship. In this particular case, it's that delicate balance between a business and what it needs to do to stay profitable and stay in business and the desires or needs of residences close by. And there is always a bit of a tension there when we have certain types of businesses. In the particular case before you tonight, we do have a stereo shop run by Mr. Ali, and I think for 14 years now in business with Reedley, and we very much appreciate his business tenure here and everything he has done for this community. I know he's very involved in this community. He works with some very influential people in this community, and he has done a great job, and we have heard from some of those people in the community. They've called our office to let us know how much they appreciate Mr. Ali, his customer service, and everything he does in terms of his quality work. We did also, though, unfortunately, have quite a few number of complaints with noise that they believed, whether or not it's true at this point. I think Mr. Ali and I decided we're just going to let that water flow behind the bridge there, but they believed noise was coming from his stereo shop. Given that and the length of time that was passing for us to try to work some solution, we were having some difficulty in coordinating a solution between the business and the city. The Planning Commission did deny a new conditional use permit after Mr. Ali's business license was suspended. From the time the Planning Commission took their action, Mr. Ali and his business representative and I have met several times, and I'm very pleased to let you know that I think we've reached a solution that works for both parties. So tonight, Mr. Ali has appealed the Planning Commission's decision, and I did advise him. I thought that was a good move to do because it allows us to come to the council and recommend that the council uphold his appeal, meaning that we go ahead and issue the conditional use permit to Mr. Ali's business and reissue the business license. The changes that are made, and I want to thank Mr. Ali and his business representative for coming to the table with some solutions. The changes that will be made to his business include some soundproofing of the stereo shop. Mr. Ali has a site in Goshen where he's going to be doing most of his major installs, anything over a certain, well, you called it amp level or something like that. Forgive me for not knowing your business line. And as well, we did have some conversations about some zoning issues with tire or auto repair, things of that nature. He's going to abide by all the laws and all of the zoning requirements there. And so we're quite pleased tonight to ask Mayor Council if you will please go ahead and approve his appeal, which means we overturn the Planning Commission's decision and we issue his conditional use permit and his business license. That being said, I want to make sure that the Planning Commission understands we appreciate the work they've done. We appreciate the difficult position they were in. Mm-hmm. We appreciate them holding a full hearing, listening to Mr. Ali and his business representative, hearing them out. I thank them for their work, and so this by no means is a mar on the Planning Commission's work. In fact, we've discussed with them the changes that Mr. Ali is willing to make, and they were quite pleased, very happy. And so they are supportive of this as well, as we understand it. So I don't know, Mr. Ali or Reza, if you'd like to say a few words or if you'd like to just let the council do their business, but feel free.
I appreciate everything that you said, and I agree.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any discussion now from the council?
I just want to say that I've always believed that communication is golden. It's the essence to success and to solutions and resolutions, and I'm pleased and very happy that this worked out the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I would like to open it to the public hearing. Are there any comments from the public? Seeing none, I'll take it back to the council. And what are your wishes? Oh, and we can close the public hearing, I'm sorry, yeah. And then I'll take it to the council.
Okay, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, at this point, we would need a motion to approve resolution number 2017-80. A motion and a second, please. And a
make
vote.
A motion.
I'll second it.
Council Member Pignon?
Yes.
Council Member Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ali. Thank you, Reza.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to seeing you in business for many more years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to number 11, adopt resolution number 2017-081, recommending a finding of public convenience or necessity related to conditional use permit application number 2017-3, authorizing the sale of beer, wine, and distilled spirits for on-site consumption within a bona fide eating place located at 765 North Columbia Avenue. Community development.
Yeah, and actually, Ellen, if you wouldn't give us just 2 minutes to get Mr. Beck in, sorry.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. A little quicker than we thought.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. A couple of months ago, there was a conditional use permit application that was received by the City of Reedley for a restaurant and bar located at 765 North Columbia Avenue. So this property it's south of the intersection of Manning, North Columbia, and 11th Street. And it's a triangular parcel. It's about less than an acre in size, and it is next to the Adventist Health Clinic. And it's directly or across Columbia Avenue from Ace Hardware. So it is east or west of the Town and Country Shopping Center. So there was a conditional use permit filed for a restaurant and bar. The applicant is intending to apply for a Type 47 alcoholic beverage license, which allows the sale of beer, wine, and distilled spirits for on-site consumption within a bona fide eating place. The project description, the applicant proposed to, the applicant wanted to have a small indoor stage for live music and karaoke on weekends, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then operate the restaurant and bar Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the applicant does realize that to the south, so the property to the east, north, and west is located in, or those are commercial uses, it's a commercial zone district, but to the south of the property and across from the alley, there are residences with the backyards that back up to the alley, and then across the alley is the actual property. So there are neighboring residences. So the applicant has acknowledged that and has gone through as part of the conditional use permit, they included a 2-hour firewall and soundproofing insulation in the live music karaoke room to help alleviate potential noise issues. There's also no door that directly opens into the alley. They do have 3 entrances and exits on the property, but they are not along the alley so that it's not easy for people to hang out in the alley or something like that. And there's also a part of the conditions of approval for the conditional use permit is to install a block wall along the front portion, along the front parking lot, which is the main parking lot that people can use to use the restaurant, so that it's still providing some sort of barrier between the alley so that people won't be there. They'll be on the property and mostly inside the property as well. So all of these things were discussed on August 3rd, 2017, which is where the conditional use permit was presented to the Planning Commission. And by unanimous vote, the Planning Commission approved conditional use permit application number 2017-3, which authorizes the restaurant and bar to be constructed at that location. The Planning Commission's action is the final action required for approval of a conditional use permit, and there were no appeals filed during the appeal period. So in talking to ABC and looking into ABC's state law and their licensing procedure, it was found that in some cases the City Council can make a finding of public convenience or necessity if there are too many alcoholic beverage licenses in a census tract. So for this Type 47 license, the City Council is not required to make a finding. For convenience stores, for example, we would come to this body to make a finding of public convenience or necessity. So in this case, it is not required, but there was still a public hearing that was noticed so that there's another opportunity to provide public comment, and the council can make a recommendation to the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, but just keep in mind it will be in advisory capacity. So the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control will make the final decision on whether the ABC license will be issued. And so they also go through a pretty extensive process. The surrounding neighbors are re-noticed again, and it's within 500 feet for Planning Commission, or for conditional use permits, it's 350 feet. So there will be more people notified. They go through their investigation process as well. So that will be in addition to what we are doing this evening. So during the Planning Commission meeting, there was one neighbor who provided an email voicing their concerns, and so we did discuss that at the Planning Commission meeting. We also discussed the applicant's current restaurant and bar that is located in Dinuba, and we did reach out to the police department, and it did show that there were any issues going on with that. With that restaurant, so the applicant is experienced in operating a restaurant with a bar, having security for patrons and that sort of thing. So there is some prior experience that the applicant is bringing to Reedley. The one of the neighbors, her name's Joyce Hatanaka, she lives on the corner of Myrtle and Button Willow, so she did provide some, she provided an email with concerns about the noise, about potential loitering, drunken disorderly folks, those sorts of things that can happen if a bar or a restaurant is brought forward. So we did address the comments by saying that those are things that can be enforced, and that the applicant has already committed to soundproofing the building to help alleviate some of those noise concerns. In addition, the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control also does require training for employees, so they do have their process and their education component as well. So in noticing the public hearing, Mrs. Hatanaka also provided some comments or an email that I'd like to read this evening. She objects to the issuance of an alcoholic beverage license at 765 North Columbia, as there are already too many alcoholic beverage licenses in the area. She goes on to list the Chinese Buffet, Walgreens, the Town and Country Market, Vince's Liquor Store, Me and Ed's, Costa Dorada, the restaurant, and Sansei Japanese restaurant. Also the issues of the potential to sell or service minors and the concerns of drunken disorderly conduct of business patrons. So again, ABC does require education and employee training. These things can be enforced if they even occur. These are all alcoholic beverage licenses, but as I did include in the staff report as Exhibit A, I provided the Type 41 mm-hmm. licenses and I think Type 42 and Type 47. That was a list of the ones that are here currently. So they are nearby because most of them are either in the Town and Country Shopping Center or the Save Mart Shopping Center. But the only other Type 47 is at the Bear Club, which includes liquor as well as beer and wine. So the recommendation tonight is to recommend a finding of public convenience or necessity related to conditional use permit application number 2017-3 at 765 North Columbia Avenue. So again, this is an advisory resolution advising ABC when they make their when they make the final decision. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there any questions from the council?
The concerns I have is that this is backed up against a residential area. Mm-hmm. We already have one that did come forward. I don't know how much vetting went into that, but this is backed up into a corner. It's right behind a church. There's several things that fall in issue with this. And when I originally heard about this coming in to the area, I heard as it being just a restaurant, but not about live music in a bar. So I'm a little concerned about having a bar in that location, because if I remember whether it was stated correctly or not, in the paper there was a statement made that if the restaurant didn't make it, he could fall back on the bar. Well, to me, I don't kind of like the atmosphere of, well, if I don't have to make it, I'm going to just make it into a bar. I'd be real concerned about something of this nature. So,
And that's understandable. To clarify a few things, the conditional use permit, which does authorize everything here, that was already approved. So I believe the sentence that I wrote in the staff report, because the alcohol license is issued by ABC, and so if they decide to not issue a license, the restaurant can still be there.
Right. I understand all that, but I'm just saying where my looking at this comes from, and we're already about 140% above what we should be in on that particular license also within that area. So that's just my opinion, and that just I would like it on the record that that's the way I feel about that. So.
Yeah, I too see that there are a lot of businesses in the area, but in talking with the staff, you know, in Reedley there's just basically a couple of quarters that have business operations. So if you look at our small city, a lot of them are out there, but that's a lot of the business community is along that corridor. So I kind of understand that. I too am concerned that about the disturbance that could maybe occur next to a residential area. That very much concerns me. It sounds like, though, that you've picked up on that and thought through how to help to make that different. And I hope that you'll carry through with that as you build the business and as you have people coming and going, that they don't disrupt the residential area. That's really important to me. But I have understood that your business in Dinuba has been very successful and you have taken care of any issues that could come up, and so I feel more comfortable. If you were just new to the community and had never done a restaurant before, I probably would say I'm not gonna be in favor of this. But because you have experience, I think that's something we need to take into consideration and give you an opportunity to show us that you can, you know, make it work. So I would be in favor of it at this point. But again, we're not the final call. The final call is the ABC, so we can make the recommendation, but then they decide.
I just want to say, I think it's kind of ironic that we just had a situation where we had noise as an issue, and, you know, we have this particular location that would be kind of the same setting. Mm-hmm. However, in reading the information, I think there's been a lot of homework done. And, you know, establishments such as these, sometimes to keep the noise in, it's not an easy thing. But it sounds like they've done a lot of work to contain and to think about and consider the surroundings. So I would say, you know, especially knowing how we need businesses in Reedley, I kind of feel like Mary, council member Fast as well. I feel good about it, but yet I have somewhat reservation. But I'm going to say yes, I agree. It would be a good thing.
Yes, it's important to note that these are preventative measures being taken now before the building's even built, which is above and beyond what we've seen before. So, but I do understand.
Okay, I just feel the same way. I was concerned about the noise because in my neighborhood I do have a lot of people that like to party, and it goes on, and my neighborhood, like any neighborhood, there's a lot of working people that need to get up early in the morning and get to work, and sometimes it can be very difficult with the noise, controlling it, but I understand that you have taken care of everything that needs to be taken care of, and hopefully that will continue, and I'm also in favor, so. Are there any more comments from the council?
No, I'm just saying that I do have to agree that there's been a lot of thought going into mm-hmm. the process, mm-hmm. and it's just that you're always very concerned about these situations. I was not aware of the finding from Dinuba. I must have missed it or overlooked it, that you guys had reached out and already made contact with the agency over there to confirm that they had had no problems with that business over there. And it appears that you've did your homework when it comes to putting this together, so, yeah.
Okay, I would like to open now, if there's no more discussion right now, I'd open it up to the public hearing. Is there any comment from the public?
I would like to say something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you wanna stand some forward and introduce yourself and your address also, please?
My name is Lorena Gonzalez. My address is 836 East Myrtle, which is a third house down from the lady she was talking about. I know him personally, and he's a wonderful person, so it's not about that, and it's not about opening a restaurant. It's the alcohol, the hours, the type of people it's gonna bring. That neighborhood already is not the best neighborhood, so a lot of those neighboring people are gonna come. Issues might happen. because it didn't happen at one business doesn't guarantee it's not going to happen at another or another town. I've been in the restaurant business. I understand how it runs. I understand how people get if there's alcohol. I'm concerned because the neighbors there have been there for 35 or over. They're all elderly people. The alley is literally 4 or 5 steps away. So that's just, nobody wants that in their backyard. Nobody wants people roaming around at 1 in the morning. And it's just uncomfortable. I have a son who's severely autistic. He's sensitive to noise, but I did read that they were going to control the noise with the soundproofing. I understand that there was thought put into it. It's just uncomfortable to know that there's a bar behind your home. Very uncomfortable. So I'm saying it, but if you put yourself in my position, it's not something you'd be happy about either. And the rest of the people in my neighborhood, most of them don't speak English. So I kind of feel like I'm also their voice, and most of them are ill. Mm-hmm. All been there easily over 35 years. So just wanted to put that out there.
Appreciate that. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public that wants you to comment? If not, I'll close the public hearing, and I'll return it back to the council. What are their wishes?
I'll make a motion to approve. Is that what we need to do?
Yeah, and as a reminder, the CUP has already been approved by the Planning Commission, so what is before the council tonight is resolution number 2017-081, which is a resolution of public necessity or convenience. That's a recommendation only that goes to ABC, and ABC will be the final determiner.
Do we have a motion? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'm torn. Second.
Where's the second?
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
No.
Mayor Betancourt.
Yes. We'll move on to administrative business. Approve and authorize the signing of Amendment 1 to the amended and restated tax sharing memorandum of understanding between the County of Fresno and the City of Reedley. Community Development. Rod.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Before you tonight, it is a staff recommendation to approve and authorize the city manager to sign the first amendment to the amended and restated memorandum of understanding between the County of Fresno and the City of Reedley. I shouldn't say just the city manager. There's about 100 signatures that go on this specific MOU. October of 2006, the city entered into a memorandum of understanding with the County of Fresno that had to do with several issues ranging from annexation activities to development within the city sphere and adjacent to the current sphere, but within the planning area, had to do with tax collection and tax sharing, and items specific to the Reedley Redevelopment Agency. This was given for an effective period of 15 years at that time. Amendment 1 is being sought at this time to update several items that are appropriate at this time to address. First and foremost, it deals predominantly with the annexation standards, which are found in Exhibit 1. With the certification of the EIR and the adoption of the general plan update, the City of Reedley made some major steps in showing not only Fresno County, but many of the other agencies throughout the state, their commitment to orderly growth. And that was something that was not lost on Fresno County. And Fresno County, as a result of that, feels it much more appropriate to allow the City of Reedley a lot more leeway in the type of annexation items that they feel are appropriate for us to consider and in the timing in which we bring those to them for discussion. As you well know, annexation activities
while it is up to the city, of course, if they're interested in annexation, it does require the involvement and the concurrence of several agencies when you're working through that with Fresno County, with LAFCO, many different special districts, depending on where the annexation might be. So a lot of coordination that needs to go on there. And step one is this MOU with the county, with the understandings that are laid within it about how you're going to address and what angle you're going to come from on a lot of these annexation activities. The largest thing I'd like to point to was in the MOU signed in 2006, there was a requirement that 50% of the land that was going to be annexed had to be dedicated for development, and that means that it had to have an approved map on it or something of that nature. This could be very challenging. The county wanted to have wording like that in the MOU, of course, to try to control the amount of annexation land that cities might be interested in. The city of Reedley traditionally has always grown very, very conservatively and very intelligently. And the county not only felt that way in the past, but with the passage of the general plan update, really felt that that was solidified. And they were very comfortable when we approached them and recommended that that go to a 25% number as opposed to a 50% number. They were very comfortable in allowing us that leeway because they felt that we have proven by the plans that we are putting in place that we will grow conservatively, and we want to continue to grow that way, and that we're very mindful about the method in which we grow. Some of the other language also allows the city of Reedley to look towards annexation activities if we are seeking to square off a boundary, or if we're trying to make sure that we're being as efficient as possible with our municipal services. Some small wording changes as well that address that. Of course, we all know that the Reedley Redevelopment Agency is no longer needing to be in the MOU, and so the language specific to that, of course, has also been removed in this version here. Attachment one was the First Amendment, the language itself, just a couple pages there that show some of the small differences. As I had stated, the majority of the differences are going to be in attachment one to that exhibit, which is the standards for annexation, and then the relevant maps that go along with that that show the city's current sphere of influence. And two growth areas that are currently just outside of the sphere, but we anticipate in the coming near future that we'll be looking toward annexation activities. And that is found in the revised Exhibit 3B from the county. Also, Attachment 2 is the full MOU from 2006 for your reference, so you could see exactly what it looked like, and when they mention the amendment there, you can see exact what sections they're referencing are going to be changed or adjusted. Overall, the changes are minimal as far as the wording is involved, but substantial as far as staff is involved and the ability that it's going to give us to be able to address particularly these annexation issues. And like I said, the city of Reedley has traditionally been very conservative. Right now we have approaching 90% of inside of our city limits is developed. That is phenomenal. And not just phenomenal for any city, but without a doubt for cities in the San Joaquin Valley. You see many, many cities that have a very large sphere and have a lot of undeveloped land within their sphere and even within their city limits. And that's something that the city of Reedley has always been very conscious of and made sure that they're growing in the very appropriate manner. And that's something that the city manager has given us very specific directions on that she wants to maintain. We know that direction comes right from our elected officials and the prudence that you've had over the years to make sure that staff remains in that direction. And that's what we're seeking to do here with this MOU. This item is required to go to our city council first. Once it has the blessing of the Reedley City Council, it will then go before the Fresno County Board of Supervisors for their consideration. We've been working very closely, of course, with county staff on this throughout the entire discussion process. We have also engaged the additional partners that we know we need to work with throughout annexations to make sure that they're comfortable with the type of language, such as the executive director at Fresno LAFCO, and everyone feels that this is the appropriate angle to take at this time. So with that said, the item is in front of you, and that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions from the council?
Just a comment. I wasn't aware till this week that in order to annex a piece of property, you already had to have a
plan of what you were going to do with that property before it got annexed. And to me, that seems a little bit backwards. If I was going to develop something, I would want to make sure it was going to be annexed and then spend money on a development plan. So that was unusual to
me.
But
it's one of those situations that's what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And it's an item that staff is used to balancing consistently. And thank goodness we're able to speak very well with the development community, and they have a solid understanding of it as well. So, of course, their goal is to have to put in the, and I say this respectfully, the least amount of time and money that they need to, as they are seeking to look into a development up front that requires annexation. And staff is sensitive to that and understands that. So our goal, of course, is to work with the county and with LAFCO to make sure that this is something appropriate if staff feels that it is supportive and feels that the elected officials, that it's consistent with the directions that we've been given in our general plan update. So it can be an interesting dance. And I think even if it were the other way around, we would likely have just some other challenges. But we're grateful to be here fighting that fight. And
I was just hoping that they'd also consider changing the pricing of the tax collection too, but I see that didn't change.
No, the tax sharing was not adjusted in any way. And if I had have tried to continue down that conversation with county staff, they may have hung up on me. So we try to be strategic about it this time.
I think this is important to have in place anyway, because we have so many developers come in and they want it shovel ready. Well, if you can't get to with the land and get it into your sphere, under your city limits, you can't tell them, it's going to be shovel ready, because now you've got to go through the process and they're always on a bubble when you're in that nature. And because I know we've tried it for the last several years, we've got a couple pieces of property we've been trying to get in because we know they're prime for developers. But with this, I think if we can get in there and get it in and not have to say, we're going to be building on this within 90 days or 360 or whatever it is, it gives us that opportunity to present to developers when they come in. So,
very well said.
I do want to thank our new county administrator, Jean Rousseau. This is something that we have been working on as a city for 6 years now, because I've been here for 6 years, and I know I've been working on it the whole time I've been here. And unfortunately, we didn't have a receptive county previously. And there are very rational, logical reasons for it, primarily, and I think the best one is that whatever changes are made to our tax sharing and annexation MOU, the other 14 cities are going to want the same. Now, their general plan policies are not as strong as ours in most cases, and so this new county administrator took an individual look at us and said he was comfortable moving this forward. And so I do want to reach out and thank the county for their work in this. And we still have the hurdle to go. We'll need to stand before the Board of Supervisors in a few weeks and make sure that they also share the county administrator's view on this, that it's good for Reedley, because of our self-policing policies in the general plan. But you will probably hear more about annexations and growth and spheres as the county progresses with their economic development plans. That's currently something that they're looking at, and it's become a little bit controversial on their end. So it's a good timing for us to educate our council and our community about what's been happening and why growth hasn't occurred the way that some of our community members have wanted to see it occur.
Any other comments?
I just want to say I think it's a good thing to get this rolling and approved, because anytime we can be prepared and ready to go when something comes up, I think that makes us one step ahead. So I thank you for all your hard work that you put into this.
Are there any comments from the public? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Number 13, approve the City of Reedley 2017-2018 Emergency Operation Plan. Chief.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council. Jerry Isaac, Fire Chief. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about our emergency operations plan. And I trust each one of you have received and been able to review the plan. The existing plan was last prepared and approved by the City Council in June of 2012. Emergency planning and preparedness is an ongoing effort amongst all of the city departments and our community partners. The 2017 edition includes updates and information that is relevant to currently known risks that could be countered here in Reedley. The plan will serve as a basis for effective response to any hazard that threatens our jurisdiction and facilitate coordination with local, state, and federal agencies during catastrophic situations. The plan is predicated on this principle that emergency operations will be executed at the level of government most appropriate to provide effective response. State and federal assistance is provided upon request when requirements exceed the capability of our own local government. This plan establishes the emergency organization, assigns tasks, specifies policies and general procedures, and provides for coordination of efforts of the various emergency staff and service elements, utilizing the Standardized Emergency Management System, which is SEMS, that's a California-based system, and the National Incident Management System, which is a federal, and the National Response Framework. The City of Reedley Emergency Operations Plan identifies the city's emergency planning, organization, and response policies and procedures. The plan addresses how the city will respond to extraordinary events or disasters from preparation through recovery. This plan is an extension of the California Emergency Plan, and it will be reviewed periodically and revised as necessary to meet any changing conditions. So the plan before you has been brought forward as a joint effort between the fire department and the police department command staff and includes the most current risk hazard assessments, governmental coordinating information, and departmental responsibilities. Each city department has reviewed and provided input into the plan. So on page 3 of the plan, there was a list of updates and revisions made from the previous plan. And I'll just briefly say that we added a couple of maps to the plan. One was a local flood zone map. The other was a Pine Flat Dam failure inundation map.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Part 6 was added as a mass transportation resource list. There were some various job title revisions, and we updated the city maps to include our very latest city boundaries. The names and the plan is does include names and numbers that are subject to privacy and that are exempt from public disclosure under the provisions of the California Public Records Act. So this plan is available to the public. However, there will be some censorship in those areas that are sensitive. This concludes my report, and the staff recommends that City Council approve the EOP and sign the letter of promulgation. The letter of promulgation is basically an announcement to our citizens that we have a plan in place to coordinate, organize, prepare for emergency situations. And we did that back in 2012 as well.
Are there any questions? Comments?
I just have maybe a question or a concern. As you know, Sequoia Safety deals with the life-saving end of an ambulance service, whereas in most cities, the ambulance is under the fire department.
Right.
Have you coordinated with Sequoia Safety in planning and initiating this plan and included them in this process?
There's actually a countywide plan that includes all of the public safety agencies, and Sequoia Safety has their role, which is dictated through the Central California EMS agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do coordinate. We do talk to Sequoia Safety Council on occasion about things. But we are very well-versed in our roles and how we're going to respond.
Okay.
And they have a team of people that do the same thing.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because of that difference in authority that
right.
we are working together and coordinating that.
Right. They would most likely take charge of those issues if they arise on the EMS side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As they're higher trained than we are.
Right, okay. I just wanted to
yep.
make sure.
Anybody else have a comment? Or no? Is there any comments or questions from the public? If not, do I have a motion?
Move to. Oh, go ahead. I'll second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes.
Okay, council reports. Mayor Fast? Oh. I mean, Councilwoman Fast?
I attended a couple of things on the council's behalf. One was the League of California Cities meeting that was like 2 weeks ago, Thursday. And Devin Mathis, who is one of the assembly people, was there and kind of answered questions of different people asked about. And of course, one of the things that came up was temperance flats, and he was very much in support of that and was hoping that the state would encourage the Department of Water Resources to approve temperance flats so that we get more water and storage in our area. For example, this year we could have used a lot of that storage. And in future years when we have droughts, that would be water that would be available to us. And he answered a lot of different questions, but that was one that I think was probably area-wide was important for all of us. The main speaker that evening was Brian Horn. He is with the City of Fresno, and he spoke about SB 649, which is an issue about cell towers that are on city property and actually do not let the city have much say over how they're administered or taken care of. So this was kind of a concern item, and I know Nicole is aware of this issue, and I think the feeling of the league is that we try to get them not to pass this because it will give the people who have cell towers a lot of authority without any local oversight. Also, they had elections for the executive board, and I'm not probably going to say this name right, but Dr. Thusu, the mayor for Dinuba, is the new president for the league for our district. So that was good. And I went up and introduced myself and also met the new city manager, Luis Patlin, and talked to them about maybe doing a joint meeting in the near future with the city of Dinuba, and they thought that that was a good idea. Also attended the Kings River East GSA meeting, and a couple of things that we're working on, still pretty much in the organizational process of that agency. They're working with Tulare County on some well ordinances for the county areas on, for example, for a farmer, you know, whether or not they can mandate that they are allowed to do testing on their wells and to also monitor their wells. So they're working on that. We've also applied for funding for our GSA. In the next couple of years, we have to do a plan. And we applied for funding for monies for setting up and making that plan. And we also working to obtain liability insurance for this GSA through the AQUA membership. And a couple of meetings ago, we hired a consultant to come up with a way to charge each entity, like the city would be charged, each farmer would be charged if they lived in the county areas, and how to make that work so that nobody is being overcharged for the services that this agency is going to provide. And then I also had the privilege of going to the PD swearing in of a new officer, and those are always neat events, and the promotion of our two sergeant and community not community, communication supervisor, Pam. So that was a good morning. And that's all that I have. Thank you.
I had the opportunity to go to the COG. Mayor was out of town, so I was at the COG meeting. Basically, the only thing that, when I was there, that was stood out was the funding for TOD, the TOD funds. And they're going to give the cities the opportunities now to go after these funds when they become available. However, they did put a one-year review on this so that they would see if the criteria, the number criteria is going to work out for the cities. That's still kind of up in the air if we're going to be able to qualify for the funds or not. So I think they're going to look at that again in a year to see if anybody's picking up on those funds. Because right up, if I'm not correct, Terry probably can tell us straight out, Fresno's been basically the city, Fresno or Clovis is the ones that can get those funds only,
yeah,
basically. Yeah, so there was no challenge for those funds otherwise. So also had the opportunity to attend the promotions and hiring of a new officer. Acting Chief Edgar, that was an excellent, excellent gathering that day, and I want to commend you on that. That was a nice process. So.
Thank you.
And it's good to see new faces on board, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay.
Excuse me, I don't have anything to report. But I would like to ask our city manager if she would do a research in our neighboring communities in regards to our stipends. Maybe there can be some research done as to where we stand in comparison.
Absolutely. And what I would advise council to do, I chatted with our city attorney about this just before the meeting, knowing that potentially this might come up. We can be authorized by council through this meeting to go ahead and do some research and bring it back to a council agenda. What we would request based upon our city ordinance is to have a motion and a second to authorize staff to do some research on this issue and to bring it back on a future agenda. Mm-hmm. And specifically the research we would bring back, would be research on what other city councils are getting in terms of stipends and benefits. We'll look at surrounding areas and then cities of similar size, and we'll bring that back in probably a workshop format.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I would request, Mayor, if maybe we could get Mr. Pignon as the first and somebody else as a second, potentially,
okay.
And a vote.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
And that's how we do. We don't vote on it,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
Just take a quick straw poll on that, I guess. The city attorney would feel comfortable with that.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Now, this is just a workshop.
This is just to bring information back. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to also thank you for the swearing-in ceremony and the promotion. It was very nice, very nice. Thank you. And like everybody else, it's always good to see new people come in. We need them, the more the merrier. And then I also went to the ribbon cutting of Emmanuel's new elementary school along with Councilman Fast, and it was very, very nice. I was just really impressed with all the kids, and it's a beautiful facility, beautiful, just very nice. So, and then I also went with the first day of school, the police patrol, and that's always so much fun to see the kids all dressed up and nice, excited about coming back to school. So that was fun. And also, I met with Garth Tullian's daughter,
Karen Musson.
Karen Musson, at the ceremony for the ribbon cutting, and she was so grateful for the fire department. They had their fire at their facility, and she was really grateful that, and they just couldn't say enough about the job that you had done, and if there was anything that they could do, they'd really appreciate it, though. So it was nice to know that, I guess our truck did its thing. It sure did.
Yes,
so,
it did.
So thank you for that. So, yeah, and that's it.
Okay, just a couple of updates. In case you've not seen the news as of late, We have had a somewhat exciting week this week, and I'm very pleased with the work done by Officer Gil Garza and Acting Chief Ettinger, our detectives, and the collaboration from Fresno PD. As you may have seen on the news, we have closed down the massage establishment on I Street, and there was a woman cited for prostitution. That establishment is now permanently closed. Collaborative effort, good investigation, and so if you can please pass on to Officer Gil Garza, fabulous job, great job. And I do appreciate Fresno PD assisting us with that. We're a small enough community that taking an undercover officer in would have been very difficult. So, and we are getting some press on that, so just in case you haven't seen the press, you will. I also just want to let you know this coming Friday, the city of Visalia is hosting the city managers from the League, South San Joaquin Valley League Division. Their brand new League of California Cities director is coming in to speak with us about PERS and the pension issues that are coming up, and so it's a very intimate setting for us to chat with her about the concerns of cities in the valley, cities right. Our size in particular. So that will be Friday in Visalia. And I do thank Mike Olmos, who, by the way, has announced his retirement, if you didn't know. So he's hosting that for us, so I do appreciate that. Are there any staff with any updates?
As you're coming up, I just wanted to say thank you for the nice striped lines.
Oh, sure. You're welcome.
On many of the streets. Looks good.
Thank you. Just a brief update. Unfortunately, you have to be the bearer of a little bit of bad news this evening. In the last month and a half or so, we've experienced some acts of vandalism on our city parks. Specifically, we had a slide vandalized at Mueller Park. We had a large slide vandalized at Citizens Park. And we had what we call a cargo net. It's at the playground at the sports park. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cut up with a knife or something. So the total cost of these acts of vandalism is about $6,284. So unfortunately, we do have appropriate appropriations at this time, but it almost maxes us out, you know, on our appropriations for equipment and playground repair. So unfortunately, this early in the fiscal year, we're already almost maxed out on appropriations. So we may have to come back at mid-year for a budget amendment if we have any further repairs or upkeep that's necessary. So just wanted to stress that playground equipment is very expensive, and we ask, you know, that the public will appreciate and respect our playground equipment so that everyone can enjoy it. So.
Any other staff? There's no further comments,
okay.
Mayor.
No, then we'll have Jerry. Everybody enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wonderful. A little shorter than I thought.